Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles, the inspiring story of the unfolding of the church. The apostles on the day of Pentecost received, as Jesus promised, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit stirred their deepest energies, in the words of St. John Paul II, gave them power and thrust them into the marketplace, began to create movement in them. I remember reading the Holy Father, St. John Paul II's meditations. He did a set of meditations on who is the Holy Spirit, essentially. And he said, one of the fundamental characteristics of the Spirit is the Spirit comes to not only reveal the person of Jesus Christ to every human heart, to confirm the preaching of the gospel that Jesus died and rose again and he's offering salvation to the world through baptism and entering into his church. But he said the Holy Spirit creates movement, stirs us, gets us to move out into the mission that each one of us has been baptized into. The Holy Spirit himself has come on mission, sent by the Father and the Son. St. Peter makes it clear in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, the core of his preaching. He said that the power of the Holy Spirit had been given to them, and it was visible to people how bold they were, how clearly they were preaching the gospel, how people witnessed them speaking in their own language, or they heard the gospel proclaimed by Peter that day in their own language. A miracle was happening right in their midst. And Peter made it clear that what they had received was the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit was given to them because Jesus Christ had died, was raised from the dead, and now is sitting at the right hand of the Father in glory and power. And from that place, having ascended back to the Father, and ascended back to the Father in human flesh, glorified, now he is the firstborn of a new creation. He's the head of a new race of people. He's the head of all things. He's the second Adam, as it were. And he's pouring out his Holy Spirit that is sharing the life that's in him, the power of the Spirit that raised him from the dead. This is what the church is. It's a miracle. It's a participation in the life of God, and it's made possible because that life is present in Jesus, who's one of us. And it's that life was united in human flesh in the person of Jesus, and now because he's triumphant over the powers of sin and death, and he's at the right hand of the Father, and all authority and power belong to him, really the destiny of human history is completely in the hands of Jesus. And now Jesus establishes a church. How? By first calling the apostles, but then pouring out his life into them, upon them in power. And that Holy Spirit gives them clarity of mind, gives them boldness, and creates movement in them. That is a passion to extend the kingdom of God in the world, filling them with courage and insight and inspiration, and working signs and wonders through them. So the church looks like Jesus. The church is imitating the life that Jesus lived when he was extending the kingdom and proclaiming it for the first time. When the church is in constant need of renewal. We read that often. Popes will say that, bishops will say that, and we see it throughout the history, the 2,000-year history of the church. And renewal means precisely, in its most fundamental aspect, to get back to this very reality and this point, coming back to the fundamentals of the faith. And the fundamentals is what we see unfolding in the Acts of the Apostles, what we've been describing. So as Peter and the apostles had gone forth, they were doing it right there in Jerusalem. They were still good Jews. They made their way to the temple. And as I spoke about yesterday, the story that Peter comes upon a lame beggar at the temple who asks Peter for alms. And Peter says, I don't have any money, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise and walk, which is so beautiful. Peter understood exactly who he was now in Christ. And that sign and a wonder, the healing of that man, drew the attention of people in the temple, those who came to pray and worship. And so they wanted to find out what happened. How did this happen? And so Peter used it as an opportunity, just like Jesus did, to preach and teach about who Christ is and to offer forgiveness of sins and salvation to the world. The sign of the healing is a sign of what? The presence of the kingdom, the power that's in the name of Jesus, the fact that this man's lame state was part of the fallen dimension of human life, just like today. We see today people who are sick, people who are dying, because the reality of this world is under the domination of sin and death. And humanity, which has biological life, we know everybody dies. And even if medical doctors are able to cure us of cancer through using science, which is a wonderful thing, eventually everybody's going to die anyway. Jesus came to deal with that problem. And here in the miracle, we see that Jesus has authority and power over sickness and over death itself. We'll see later in his resurrection, we see that obviously, but Jesus spoke to Lazarus, raised him from the dead, spoke to a young girl, raised her from the dead, and the apostles also, and saints throughout history and individuals have done the very same thing. The kingdom of God is extended through them, and the reality of Jesus' authority over it all, over all of creation, is manifested through his apostles. So Peter, being faithful to the call, verse 18 of chapter 3, he continues his preaching about what happened with the lame man and what the message is that he wanted them to be able to understand. He said, "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old." So Peter's message to the Jewish people who are present in the temple is that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that the prophets of Israel proclaimed, that he is indeed the Messiah. And now because of what God has done in Jesus, that repentance for the forgiveness of sin is being offered. So right in that moment, Peter said, what you're seeing in this miracle is a confirmation about the authority and majesty of Jesus, and that indeed his words, his offer of repentance, and his proclamation of the presence of the kingdom of God, now present in the church and visible in this group of ragtag apostles, the kingdom of God is upon them. The authority of Jesus Christ has been given to them to go forth and to fulfill exactly what Jesus had called them to do, and that is to bring salvation to the world. That is to bring repentance and forgiveness of sins to the world. And so Peter, so faithfully and so beautifully, proclaims that repent means to what? To turn now, to turn from the direction you're moving in, to accept God's diagnosis of your condition and turn toward God and say yes to him, and to let him take your sins so he can blot them out and he can give you a new beginning through repentance, baptism, and entering his church. So this beautiful scene, Peter's proclaiming it, and the religious leaders don't like it. They're upset by it. And so we see the beginning of chapter 4, says the leaders, the people, the priests, and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees were annoyed. Why? Because Peter was teaching the people, and the other apostles as well, they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection from the dead, but fundamentally, what they're upset is that they're preaching in the temple of the people of Israel, and they're teaching something they believed was false. And right in the heart, in the center of the life of the Jewish people is the temple itself. And at the core of that temple is the Holy of Holies, and Jesus himself preached there. And the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders, plotted with Pilate and others ultimately to silence Jesus. And now they're angry that the apostles are there preaching in the name of Jesus. And it's important to see that on the side of the coming of the Holy Spirit, bringing new life to the apostles and empowering them and signs and wonders being worked in the name of Jesus, that's all so inspiring. It's so much a part of what Jesus wants to have happen in his church. This also is to be expected. That is, that there's people throughout history who are going to resist the proclamation that Jesus Christ is God's only Son, that he came in the flesh, that he brought the kingdom for the sake of the salvation of the world, and that he died on a cross for the sins of the world, and that he was raised, and that he's alive, and that he's now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, the head of the new race of people who are born again by water and the Spirit, the new creation that is the only future of the human race. It's in a person. So Peter's proclaiming this. The religious leaders are angry about it. They're angry because many who heard it, it says here, many who heard the word in the preaching, they believed it. And so many Jewish people at that time received Jesus as the Messiah. The majority of people did not receive him, but many did receive him. And so the first believers in the church were Jewish believers. So it goes on, they question Peter, they bring him in front of the whole leadership of the Sanhedrin, and they basically want to know, who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? The account is written this way, verse 9, chapter 4. It said, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we're being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. So you can see the transformation that's happened in Peter in this beautiful scene, because when Jesus was dragged before this very same group of rulers and elders, the apostles, including Peter, hid. You know, Peter followed Jesus at a distance. He didn't want to be too close to the point where he could be identified with Jesus and himself maybe be arrested. And of course, the humiliating and sad revelation for Peter that night of his own human weakness, which is really in each and every one of us. He denied even knowing Jesus three times, as Jesus had basically prophesied would happen to him, told him it would happen. So Peter now is standing before that same group, absolutely confident and bold, knowing exactly what he's supposed to say. And it's important to see that it said, Peter, then filled with the Holy Spirit, stood up. Jesus said, don't worry, you're going to be dragged before rulers and leaders and people of power. Don't be afraid, because when that happens, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the counselor, will be there with you, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. So the apostles understood very clearly that they were going to face opposition, and they had a new power, a new boldness and courage, and they knew they were living now in the kingdom of God, which was a kingdom of nonconformity to the powers of the world around them. It was a counterculture. It was a new way of life. It was the kingdom of God unfolding, and they knew it was going to be met by hostility to the point where they could literally lose their lives, which many of them ultimately did, and they were martyred. And so here's where Peter makes clear, he said, Jesus is the cornerstone of the building that God is building. And again, there is salvation in no one else. In no other name is it possible for the human race to be saved, for any person to be saved, because it's the death of Jesus. Whether people who end up in heaven know it or not, those who have responded to the light that God has shown him, if they end up in heaven, they're there because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's been applied to their life, and that God has found them and found their hearts ready in faith to receive the revelation that God has given to them. So friends, it's such a beautiful reflection to see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit right at the center of what it means to be Catholic and Christian. And this is a reality God wants you to know. He wants to be activated fully in your life. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.